Today is Wednesday, March 27th. This is the Chumash Shir. We're at the beginning of Bereshit, Perek Yudchet, the beginning of Parshas Vayera.
Okay, Rabotai. We are up to the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Bereshit Yudchet. Yes, of course. It's okay. And we are up to Pasuk.
Excuse me, just two.
No problem, there are plenty of them. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Dalet. So, we had previously learned that Avraham notices three people pass by his tent. He speaks to them at the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, and either he is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, please excuse me a few moments as I take care of my guests, or he's speaking to the head of the delegation, and that's why he addresses him as my master, Vayomar Adonai Imna Matzasekhein Beinecha. So, yeah. So now the Torah says, here he's certainly not speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's speaking to the three people, and he says, Yukachna Me'at Mayim, V'rachatzu Raglechem, please take a little water and wash your feet. V'hisho'anu tachat ha'etz, and you will relax underneath the tree. That's a simple translation. Now, Rashi correctly notes that the word yukach is a very unusual phrase. Literally, it does not mean you shall take. Let water be taken to you. Very awkward phrase. Let water be brought to you. Yukachna me'at mayim, v'rachatzu raglechem. So Rashi says, al yidei shliach. The water brought to the three guests was one of the only things which Avraham did not do personally. Somebody else, one of the servants, one of the attendants, and as the Ramban will point out, don't forget, there were 318 people living under the auspices of Avraham's tent. So it was one of them, and he will focus on the rest of the part, which Avram does himself, which he finds someone startling. So, Yukachna me'at mayim, says Rashi, al yidei shliach. Some agent, somebody else brought the water for these people. V'hakadosh baruch hu shileim libanav al yidei shliach. Rashi is citing a midrash, we will see that midrash, that every single step that Avraham took in the context of these guests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded his children measure for measure. He did A, they received B. He did C, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded his children sometime with D. We'll read it inside the Medrash. However, this, because he did not engage in personally, the reward was also not personally delivered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened? So it has to do with something with water. Says Rashi, Shine'emar, Vayorem Moshe et Yado, Vayach et Hasela. Moshe raises his hand and strikes the rock, and the water comes forth. And under those circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself did not provide the water. Moshe spoke to the, or was told to speak, but he struck the rock, And the water is produced from the rock, not directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to elaborate on this midrash, and many are going to ask Rashi, are very troubled, why Rashi selected this pasuk as the reward for having the water brought al yedei shliach. We'll see it in a couple of seconds. Just want to finish the Rashi. V'rachatzu ragleichem, and I want you, please wash your feet. So again, Rashi operates based on the Midrash. Tell me, ladies, why, if you were living in a desert area and somebody is coming to your house, why would you tell them to wash their feet? Because I don't want dust in my house. That is the simple pshat. That is the simple pshat. Wash off your feet because I don't need a mess in my house. Many of you are makpid. Whoever comes in, you take off your shoes and you have to wear slippers in the house. Right? You know who you are. You still do it. So it's not so difficult. But Rashi always, 99% of the time, chooses to follow the Midrash. Kesavur Shehem Arviim, he thought that they were Arabs. Shemishtachavim Le'avak Raglehem, who acknowledge that the dirt of their feet is some type of a deity and represents Avodah Zarah. V'hikpid, and Avraham was careful, Shelo l'hachnis Avodah Zarah l'beito. Avraham was careful never to bring idolatrous symbols or activity into his house. Aval Lot, Shelo hikpid, but Lot, where these three guys, or one or two of them, go to Lot at the beginning of chapter 19 to initiate the destruction of Sodom and to save Lot personally, when he sees them, he says to them, Hikdim lina l'rechitza. He said, come, I have a bed for you, and then what do? Wash your feet. Shine'emar v'linu v'rachatzu raglechem. So he couldn't care less if idolatrous sources entered his house, and therein lies the difference between Avraham and Lot, so says Rashi. What question, again, it's a medrash, tell me what question you would like to ask on this medrash about Rashi's explanation. What question do you think would be a compelling one? Yes.
I don't know if it's a question, but I
think it is a question.
Okay, well, two things bother me about it. Number one, why would you ask someone to wash their feet when the floor is dirt that you come into anyway? Number one,
He had a carpet.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
the second thing
he bought it at the store. It advertises the Jewish Link all the time. What's the name of that store? What?
Direct Line Carpet.
So it's not like we're taking all the deities. It's for prayer.
Okay. That's a good question. But something to challenge your senses about the comment. What did Avraham think represented the deity? What was he worried about?
Dust.
Yeah. So ask the question.
What deity?
What deity worships dirt?
God. Right. Have a sun god.
The gods of the earth.
Of course. Right. But dust. I never heard of such a thing in my whole life, and that's going to be Abarbanel's question. Why would anybody worship the dust of the earth, and that represents deity, the primary, most powerful force in this world is the dust, and it's now on his feet? How do we understand that? What is the nature of that type of a deity? Like you said, we always come in contact with the Elohei HaShamayim, the gods of the sun, the moon, and so on and so forth. And even Elohei HaAretz would be something that's powerful and magnificent. The oceans, things like that. But a little dust on your feet. Yeah?
I don't know who thought of it, but I know that there's some thought that there's life comes from the dirt, that it's spontaneously
okay.
out of the dirt.
Perhaps. Perhaps. I'm not giving the answer yet. It's a good suggestion. Just want to alert you to the question. Why would Avram be concerned about dirt, since when do people worship dirt? Yeah.
Earth goddess?
What?
The earth goddess. The ancient peoples always had these earth goddess that fertility and crops growing.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
I don't know. Perhaps. That might be it as well. So that's something to be considered. Continues Rashi. Last comment of Rashi before we expand. Tachas ha'eitz. V'hisha'anu tachas ha'eitz. So Rashi says, tachas ha'ilon. So what are you going to ask at this comment of Rashi?
What?
What else could it have meant when he said, v'hisha'anu tachas ha'eitz? Does he mean that he, I want you to rest against that mechitza because it's made out of wood? Obviously, ha'etz usually means a tree. And here, Rashi is simply following Unculus. If you look at the last word in Unculus, it says, V'istimichu tchot ilana. We'll rest underneath the shade. We will have to see a comment as to what coerced Rashi to make that, what's running through his mind, that he had to tell us it's A, it's the tree, and not B. Normally, if we could have figured out by ourselves, Rashi doesn't have to say anything. But if he had to say something, there was at least a possibility that it referred to something else. Yes?
But
good. That's going to be a comment that will be made by Orachayim. Not tachat eitz, but tachat ha'eitz. We'll talk about it. It's a good observation. Yes?
In modern Hebrew, we want a specific type of tree. What's the size?
It might be. I'm not sure. But in the Mishnah, ilanot are just trees. And ilan is a single. Singular. Fine. So, yeah. So if you'll take the handout for just a moment. And let's see. If you look for a moment at, yeah, page 3. Go to page 3 for a moment. And here you have the Midrash, which is a Mechilta, commenting on our Psukim. It's about 2/3 of the way down. I bracketed it. The Avraham Kisiv, Yukach na me'at mayim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu he'ela libanav et habe'er. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided in response the be'er. Which be'er am I referring to? The be'er of what we call Be'er of Miriam. And the pasuk, which the Midrash cites, is Shine'emar, Az Yashir Yisrael et Ashira Hazot Ali Be'er Enula. It's a pasuk in Parshas Chukas where Am Yisrael are offering tribute, thanking the HaKadosh Baruch Hu for providing the Be'er to supply their water needs throughout the 40 years. That's why in Parshas Chukas, once we are told in Chukas at the beginning of chapter 20 that Miriam dies, the very next episode is, they come crying to Moshe, Manishteh, what are we going to drink? Because the Be'er dried up when Miriam passed away. So, what? Yes, that's exactly it. Now, that's correct. Generations later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards Am Yisrael based on the fact that Avraham rewarded or provided for these three guests water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides water as well. This is the primary source of the Midrash. So give me two things that do not appear in the Midrash, which Rashi imagined or made up on his own. Give me two aspects of this record, this story, which I am showing you the original. How did Rashi tamper with the original in two ways, based on his comment, in two different ways? How did Rashi tamper with the Midrash? You can do this. I'm not giving you the answers. Good. It doesn't say any place in the Midrash that it was on Yidei Shliach. And we know for a fact that the Be'er of Miriam, nobody dug it, nobody discovered it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided it for Am Yisrael. That's number one.
But she was the Shaliach in a sense, but when she was gone,
But that's it's possible. But that means because it was Bezechut Miriam. Bezechut Miriam. Her contribution enabled Am Yisrael to have her piety and so on and so forth. But what else? The Medrash doesn't quote the pasuk that Rashi quoted. And tell me why Rashi's pasuk is absolutely the wrong imagery for us to hear about. Tell me why it's the wrong imagery to project to us. Why?
Avraham's not his ark in the proper way. The way Rashi is describing it. She's not doing it
well. That's Rashi's point.
Right.
So which episode does he indicate? So Rashi just saying it was done on Yidei Shliach.
Right.
That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacted by not doing it yourself. But I'm going one step further. What is the net result of the event that Rashi quotes? It was a disaster.
Moshe doesn't get into Eretz Yisrael.
Exactly. Neither does Aaron. That didn't turn out to such a good consequence. The fact that he struck the rock. Lachain, Damaka, lo sabiyata.
There are other psukim.
The other time with the water was perfect. Good. So had he quoted the pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, the very first time that Am Yisrael, before the Be'er was even heard of, the very first time that they came, they crossed the Yam Suf, they traveled 3 days, v'lo matzu mayim, they didn't find water. So what did first in the immediate sense, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He told Moshe to throw a piece of wood into the water, Vayimtiku Hamayim, and Sweden. And then he tells Moshe to hit the rock, and lots of water comes out. And perhaps that now became the Be'er, which enabled them to have a water supply for the next 40 years. And that had only positive good results. Why quote this pasuk? Number one, it's not in the Medrash. Number two, it's an event that took place, which is a disaster. Yeah.
Not only that, it's also a very direct event. If you're saying Ayidei Shaliach, and then you bring this pasuk, that's a direct result. He hit the rock and water came out.
But it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's what it means. All the other things that he's going to mention, the fact that Avraham brought bread, God responded by giving them bread. But he didn't ask the shliach to bring the bread. Who brought the bread? Hashem. What do you think the man? We'll read it the next line of the Midrash. Next line. So the original Midrash does not play on this fact that it says, Yukachna me'atmayim. That's Rashi's contribution that it was a Deyayin Shliach. And it actually is against the Midrash, both in terms of notating the Yukachna and the event that the Midrash serves as reciprocating for Avram's event. That's not the event that Rashi quoted. Let's continue. Yeah? It doesn't have to be. You're right. It doesn't have to be. And where does it say that he has to give them water in the desert?
They could just let them survive without water.
Yeah. Okay. They'll have to fend for themselves. If you didn't have any water today, do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down and giving you water?
No, but he didn't take them out of Egypt.
Okay. That's Moshe's argument all the time. That's Moshe's argument. Correct. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not a good one. But, obviously, until Moshe pleaded with him, that may have been running through his mind. Fend for yourself. But let's just read the end of the Midrash. Yeah.
Since Rashi says that it was a shaliach, maybe the shaliach was there. And that's why when God provided the air and Moshe hit it, it wasn't a reward.
Good. Good. You're adding that God is a little annoyed that Avraham did not bring the water himself. And Rashi's point, Al Yedei Shliach, is to demonize Avraham a little, and as a result, there is going to be a time when there's going to be water as well, but that water is not going to necessarily have a very good ending. And why is it not going to have a good ending? Because this event, that's a very good point. Yes. That's going to be the Ramban's question in a minute. He's going to ask, on the second, not what he didn't do, but what he did do.
Yeah.
Why is Avram running, making the bread? The Ekha Paslech. Why did he, Bel HaBakar, Ratz Avraham? He's got plenty of servants, and he was just got up from a bris. He was a weak guy. What's he doing anything here? All of it should have been done Al Yedei Shliach. That's going to be the Ramban's question in a minute.
He didn't make the bread.
What?
Well,
okay, but he that's but the bakar, he shafted the animal. Luis? Yeah.
Nobody came out of shock. He didn't do anything.
Well,
Avraham as the template to the great Jewish leader. And he's saying the great leader who does 99.9% perfect and withholds a little has huge implications, and you're going to see it time after time.
Excellent point. Somebody, I forgot who said it. I hope I have it here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu midakdei b'tzadikim kechut ha'sa'ara. The consequences of Avraham doing something inappropriate are far greater than you and me doing something inappropriate. That's excellent point. Excellent. Yeah.
I still think that the fact that he's supposed to be the paradigm of Moses Arshin, I think also is a big issue here because he didn't fulfill the percentage of the 10th to the nth degree.
Correct. 100%. So let's just, yeah.
Sorry.
It's good. Don't be sorry.
One other thing. Water, you need water. More than you need food and everything. And this was the main, you know, maybe if he prepared the water and the other stuff, it wouldn't have been as problematic.
Egregious. Right.
But
I hear. So let's just read. Yeah.
There are 300 plus people living under the same tent, and you're going to tell me that there's no prepared food, that everything has to be made from scratch?
That's also a good, that's an interesting question.
And Sarah didn't know in advance that all
That's a good question. That's a good question. Okay. I'll try to get this medrash in by 1:30.
Yes. It says, "Yukach no ma'ayim v'rachatzu rav lechem." It seems like the water was not for drinking. It was just like
I was going to be my response. That's correct. It's for washing their feet off,
right,
not to drink. Why didn't he give them water to drink initially? Good. We'll see. It's a good point. Now, everybody, all these points are legitimate. That's what I want you to do. Think and attack and ask. But let's just read the Midrash. The Avraham Tziv Yukach Nama Atmaim, I'm on page 3 at the bracketed line. The Kadosh Baruch Hahelu Lebanav Et HaBe'er Bamidbar Shine'emar Az Yashi Yisrael Et HaShirah Zot Ali Be'er Enula. The Avraham Tziv Vo'ekcha Pat Lechem. I took a loaf of bread. Right, but it's yeah. Yeah, but not when there's a vav. Vo'ekcha means I took. That's the vav. The vav changes it to I took. From the, that's the vav hamapechet. Even though I know no diktuk, that much I remember. Ve'ekcha basrechem. Ve'hakadosh baruch hu horid libanav et haman bamidbar. Shine emar, hinini mamtir lachem lechem min hashamayim. So on account of the fact that Avram was ve'ekcha pat lechem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded and provided lechem min hashamayim, not indirectly, directly, even if you wanted to operate with Rashi. Be'Avraham hu omer ve'el habakar Ratz Avraham. Avraham ran to the Bakar. Now listen to this incredible stretch of the Midrash. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives slav libanav shine'emar veruach nasa me'et Hashem vayagaz salvim min hayam. The quail, the results are disastrous. Disastrous. Because people overate and they died. So this is a very difficult understanding of a reward. Okay? For it, some people, if they had not acted like fressers and just eaten it in moderation, it would have been a very good blessing. And that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. And they asked, they wanted meat. That's correct. So, okay, in this sechus, okay, the Avraham hu omer v'hi sho'anu tachat ha'etz the HaKadosh Baruch Hu peiras libanav shiva anane kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in response to the shade provided by the tree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides shade and protection by having the seven ananim travel with them in the desert. Shine emar peiras anan lemasach ve'esh lahair laila. God spread in Anan as a covering, and he had an Amud Eish to illuminate the fire for them. The Avraham Ksiv, the Hu Omeid Alehem, Tachat Ha'etz Vayochelu, it says that Avraham was right there as they were eating. He provided the food and he didn't disappear, but he was right there with them. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gin al bate banav b'mitzrayim shelo yinagfo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected the homes of the Jews in Egypt when the mashchit was running around doing his job. Doing his job. Shine emar upasach Hashem al hapetach. Al hapetach. Now this is a most unusual interpretation of the pasuk. When it says upasach Hashem What is the purpose of God going around in Mitzrayim?
To kill
everybody. Mm-hmm. Kill the Bechor. And when he saw what, he understood to jump over this house. When he sees the blood of the Korban Pesach, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to skip over. So the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not to serve as the protector. It's quite the contrary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the mode of what? Of being a killer. And when the Mashchis goes about, he really doesn't distinguish between Jewish homes and Egyptian homes. That's one of the difficulties of the story of Exodus. Who is this Mashchit? It's what?
The question is,
good. Is that a? If you read the text simply, it's not God going around at all. It's this Mashchit, and there is something to worry about, that this Mashchit will not be able to distinguish between a Jewish home and an Egyptian home. What are you talking about? Who? There is no Mashchit. Who is the Mashchit? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he needs a blood sign on the doorway to indicate that this is a Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without the blood, doesn't need that. That leads everybody to believe that this Mashchit, I can't explain it well, is an independent force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, it's one of his angels. And this guy has no capacity. Once he's got a job, every firstborn is going to die, Jew or Egyptian alike. Again, conceptually, the way we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not something that we feel comfortable with. But nonetheless, this Midrash is now saying it. The Mashchis is going, and who provided protection for the Jew? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. In reward for Vahu Omeid Alehem Tachat Ha'etz Vayochelu. Because Avram stood there hovering over the three people, in reward as compensation for that, says the Midrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself hovered over the Jewish home and now tells Mr. Mashchis, move on to your next house. Leave this home alone. Which again, conceptually, is a little difficult for us to understand.
But if you were teaching Shmos, you wouldn't explain the pasuk that way.
How else would I explain it?
Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sarach, Hashem came and did.
That's not teaching the pasuk. That's teaching the Medrash. If I were teaching the pasuk, what would I have to do? I'd have to say that this Mashchit is going around, whoever he is, I don't know, and it doesn't sound like it's God. It sounds like it's a Mashchis, and we needed protection. And therefore, lo seitzu mipetach beito ad haboker. Because if you step out of your house, what's this Mashchis can't do? Oh, this is a Jew, I can't kill him. What do you mean? If it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows it's a Jew. What's the problem? Again, it's one of the more difficult episodes of the Torah to translate properly. I can't.
What if it's not just differentiating Jews, but differentiating Jews who believe?
That's good. That's okay, but those who didn't believe, if you're operating with a Midrash, already died during Choshech. Right, that's the Medrash on Vachamushim, Alu B'nei Yisrael. There's only 1/5 of Am Yisrael left. Mitzrayim, the other 4/5 died out. Yeah.
What's the reasoning behind this environment? Like, why? Why do you have to give different aspects of what Abraham did that it affected the future?
Okay. So I will answer that with something that we said at the beginning of this unit and adopting Radak and Rambam's position. That everything here was a dream. And in the vision, ask the Ramban, why would the Torah tell us that Avraham had this vision about angels running around and he's feeding them. Who cares? If it's a vision, the only thing that was relevant, asked the Ramban, were the messages communicated by God through the vision. That you're going to have a child, I am going to destroy Sodom, and I'm going to spare Lot. None of this is relevant if it's a vision. But assuming that it is a vision, as Rama, then I can understand what, at least to give some thought, why the vision is now communicated in the Holy Torah. Because I want to show you that events that happened to Avraham have significance even down the road. That even an event that Avraham never actually did, but he only did in his dream, that too was rewarded as Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. That's the way I would answer it. But it's a good question. Yes?
Going back to why the Yukat HaMa'amayim is a negative. He had 318 people who were supposed to be training and showing how to follow the way to the temple. So Sarah, you make the dough. He gave the... He checked the animal and gave it to the Nara. He's just trying to include others in this mitzvah and not just, don't just watch me participate.
Good.
It have to be negative.
So then, what aspect did he do? You're right. But at least in the others, he did something. But he did something. He brought the dough to Sarah and said, please make ugot. He brought the animal, I shechted it, now just carve it up. But apparently, Rashi felt he did nothing about the water. Nothing about the water. And in light of Rashi's other comment, I was waiting for somebody to say this. Why do you think, assuming that he did nothing about this, why did he not bring the water? What? If it had been for drinking, he would have brought it himself.
Right, but it was for washing their feet.
For Avodah Zarah, I don't want to have anything to do with Avodah Zarah. Not even get their dirt off their feet. I want to have nothing. That's what I would say if I was pressed for it. But anyhow, let's move on for a second. Let's move on. This is the Midrash, the Makor of Rashi's comment. Now, go back to page number one for a minute. And look at the Baal HaTurim on page number one. So the Baal HaTurim, I don't mention him very frequently because it's not my style. Gematrias and things like that, that's not my kind of style. But this is the son of the Rush, the Tur, who wrote the Tur on Shulchan Aruch, who introduced the entire format of the Halakha, which Karo then copied when he established Shulchan Aruch, of having the four major sections, Aruch Chaim and Yeridaya, Ibn Ezra. That was introduced by the Tur way before Karo was born. But in Chumash, he dabbled in these unusual type of light type of Torah. Anyhow, he writes, Yukach na ma'atmayim, bigematria, mikan zochu lebe'er. Okay, I didn't check him out. The same numerical value. Yukach na ma'atmayim has the exact same numerical value as mikan zochu lebe'er. So first of all, he's referring to the Medrash's source, that what did Am Yisrael receive? Not that Moshe is going to strike the rock, it's the Be'er of what we call Be'er of Miriam. So for homework, go home and check whether the numerical value is indeed correct. Correct. Now, look at on the right hand side where it says hey vo'ekha pas lechem. V'haya lo lomar kichu pas lechem. He should have said what? Take the bread. I bring the bread. Somebody brings the bread. Have a piece of bread. Have a piece of challah. Says the Torah, quoting a halacha. Mikan remez shebal habayis botseya. Botseya means to break the bread. So there is always this little discussion when you have guests. How do you want to honor your guests? Some people say, would you like to lead us in Kiddush? Right? You want to wash first. And some people say, would you like to lead us in the Hamatzi? The halacha is that a guest should never be the one making the Hamatzi and distributing the bread. Because perhaps he'll be a little too generous, and the Balabayas is looking at him and says, that's very nice. This is my bread. What are you giving away so much for? And therefore, it became customary for guests to give very small pieces of bread when they were the botzim, in order not to incur the wrath of the Balabayas. So the Gemara says, we're making a takana. In order to make sure that the guests get a generous portion, what does it say? Vo'ekha paslechem. I will take for you a piece of bread. I'm going to distribute the bread. Mikan, from here is a remez, a hint, that the Balabayas is botzeya. And that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Quoted by the Rambam, and it's a Gemara in Brachos, that the Balabayas should be always the one who breaks the bread, so that he gives decent portions to the guests. And that's what he writes. Yeah. Point number three, says the Torah, and others comment on this as well. It says, Libchem. What word do we use in the Chumash? We say it twice a day. Say it, Shari, out loud. Levavchem, not libchem. Why? Because we believe, this is one of the comments, that there are two hearts that a person has. Not physical hearts. He has a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer Tov. However, knowing that these guys are angels, what does he say? Visa'adu libchem. Satiate your heart. You don't have to satiate both hearts. Why? Because they only have one. They're angels. That's what some say. Take a look at Balaturim's comment. Gimel bimasora. There are three times in all of Tanakh that the word libchem appears. This is without a Bar Ilan, without a concordance. He just knew the whole Tanakh by heart. He said there are three times in all of Tanakh where the word Libchem appears. Hacha, number one, Visadu Libchem, Ve'idach, Shisu Libchem Lechelo, Pasku Arminoteha, it's in the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Sheni. It says, Shisu Libchem Lechelo, and then, Uritem v'sos libchem, a pasuk in Yeshaya. V'zehu shamro. This is a reference to the Gemara's comment about Avraham. Shahaya mitzta'er al shelo ba'u orchem. He was literally in agonizing as a result of the fact that what? Guests had not shown up. V'zehu shisu libchem. Shahaya mitzta'er bilibo. Shisu libchem means that he was upset. Very upset. Kevan shira elu. Once he saw these, now comes the third time. Visas libchem. His heart was delighted. And now he has an opportunity to what? To offer good. Very nice.
But it's libchem.
What?
That's
a good question. Okay, I grant you, it's not the simple shot. Yes?
But the fact that he didn't have guests, he upset that he didn't have guests, had anything to do with the fact that we don't, quote, invite people to a bris?
What?
Could that, the fact that he was...
That's an interesting, and whoever came uninvited. Okay, They just put an announcement in Teaneck Shuls. The bris of Avraham Avinu will be today. Anybody who's riding by can just come in. It's an interesting point. It's an interesting point. It's an interesting point. It is. Yeah. Now, if you want to see something outlandish, before I get to something serious, the Or HaChaim comments on the word ha'etz that he meant to v'hi sho'anu, you should lean under Torah, which is the Eitz Chaim. Guide your life and shelter your life underneath Torah. That's just a little cute. That's an Or HaChaim. Just if you like it, fine. You don't like it, you don't have to do it. But now for a minute, go to page number 4. As I told you, the style of Abarbanel is that he opens up with a series of questions. So on the first chapter, Perek Yutet, he will enumerate 22 questions that he's going to have. Then he's going to start his lengthy commentary, and along the way, he'll say, I just answered question number 1. I just answered 5 and 6. So let's see some of the questions. Hashela Havav Be'omro Yukach no me'at mayim. He asks a very good question. What does the word no mean? I plead with you. I please, please. And it's not always found in the text. And usually, it's not me. And usually, there is a comment on it, and you have to assume that unless the word please and plead would have been used, the assumption would be what? The assumption would be what? That they wouldn't do it. Exactly. So I want to show you one of the clear-cut examples of that. Please go to Sefer Shmot. And Perek in a second. It's in Parshat Bo. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Bet. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Bet. Daber Na Be'aznei Ha'am. Now Moshe speaks to Am Yisrael thousands of times. It rarely says Daber Na. It says Daber El B'nei Yisrael. That's what it says all the time. So here it says, Daber Na. So read what the request is going to be, and perhaps you'll be able to identify why Moshe needed a special plea.
Because
he doesn't want them to do it? Well, he wants them to do it. Why would they not want to do it? Why would they not want to do it? Exactly.
They don't want to give that up.
They got this from, as they were leaving. Now, why is Moshe making this request for them? Why should they share with their brothers and sisters? Why? Because it depends where you lived. So if you lived on Winthrop Road in Mitzrayim, right? And there was a wealthy Egyptian, there was plenty of gold, zahav, and kesef to get. But if you lived on the other side of Teaneck Road, right, the wealth of the people there is not that much. So you live next to such an Egyptian, you're not getting much. And Moshe understood that it was simply patently unfair. So he had to ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to ask, But he knew it was not going to be an easy sell. So what did he say? Daber na. Plead with them. Plead. So Abarbanel asked the question, what would you have to plead to take some water? Or, yukach na matmayim. We have to plead to take water. Certainly it's for drinking, and even if it's to wash your feet, what do you have to plead with them for? Why would the word na have to appear in this particular context? It's a very good question. Let's move on.
Doesn't na also mean
noun? No. It does not mean. Kihine milat na lashon bakasha lo yipol bazeh. It has no meaning in this context. Gam amro, it also is a little strange that he said me'at mayim, take a little water. Who's zar? It's a little strange. Somebody comes into your house and says, would you like to have a little glass of water? Would you like a little water? Would you like some water? You don't say, would you have a little water? Kikavan shelo amar me'at belechem, he didn't say v'ekach me'at lechem. Why would it appear? Lo hayara uilomar b'mayim. He should not have what? Made this stipulation in relationship to the water. Vigam, v'hi sho'anu, to lean on the yera'eh she'ein inyan lo. Ki lomo ze yishanu tachat ha'eitz v'lo yikansu ba'ohelo babayis. If he's inviting guests, where do you tell the person who comes to your door, there's a tree outside, sit underneath the tree outside? No, you invite them into the house. So why is he telling them v'hisho anu tachat ha'eitz? Those are all question number six, even though there were three questions. Now, hasheela hazayin. Ma ra'a Avraham lacharod et kol hacharada hazot al shlosha anashim ovrei derech. Vasat gemach azar ra'ash, azar tumult, for three wayfarers, travelers in the road. In the avdo osom be'atzmo, kemo she'amar va'ekcha kaslechem. Ve'el habakar ratz Avraham. Ve'hu omeid alehem. Ki'ilu lo hayu bebeito mishor sim osei ritzono. As if there is no help around of anybody who is prepared to do exactly what he requested. V'hutzrach la'asot hu be'atzmo. V'halo bebeito shin yud chet ish sholeif cherev. He's got 318 people who are willing to go to war for him as long as he says something. Milvad hanashim v'hatafe ha'anarim. That's aside from the women and children who are also available to help him out. V'lomo yishamesh hu ba'atzmo b'hiyoto zakein v'chole nimul le'ovrim v'shovim. He just underwent surgery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him. He was a chole. No one has expectations of a chole, a 100-year-old guy, to run around for three guys. V'im migodel if it's because he was preparing a lot and he wanted to help out with the help, and what did he say? Shlosh se'im kemach solet, three sa'ah, which is a huge measure of flour, uben bakar, and a whole cow, l'shlosha anashim, for three people. The Kolshkein Elu Hayushlosha Bnei Bakar Lahachilam Shalosh Lishonot Bichardal Kidivrayim Zal. It's because he took three different bulls, each one to have tongue. This is what Avram had to do when he was 100 years old and sick having just undergone circumcision. You speak to most people, how would they consider your action? Foolish, silly, endangering your health. I'm not going to give you a great reward for what you're doing. So why does Abraham do this? And not only does he do it, but the Medrash says we're going to reward him, as we read in the Medrash, for every step along the way. Most people would characterize his behavior as being nothing but foolish, risking his wealth, his health, and his life by doing such a thing. Speak to any doctor after surgery, you're going to be running around checking an animal? It's ridiculous. That's another question of the Abarbanel. We'll stop here, and we will see, next of us, some of the Abarbanel's suggestions. Not all, some.
My father is not licensed in New Jersey as an officiant, so it was supposed to be done at the ceremony.
You don't have to be licensed in New Jersey. You only have to be licensed in New York. Your father could have signed it.
Oh, really?
Yes, no problem. In fact, he should, because he was the officiating rabbi. If not, I would sign it.
I mean, I
but you do here. Not. You do not have to. You do not have to be licensed in New Jersey.
Okay. So as long as he's in New York, then
as long as it was in New Jersey, he is. If you are a rabbin, if you have ordination, you're automatically qualified in the state of New Jersey to sign a marriage license.
Okay.
And since he was the, I don't, if I don't have to, I'd rather not.
Right. Okay. All right. And you.